life. I'm delighted to be here this evening as a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God and praise Him for this wonderful opportunity that He has given me to be here this evening. Also, I want to thank this trust for inviting me. We have been listening to the Word of God. My message is any different from what we have been hearing. Because what I have to say is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that I want to turn your attention to Luke chapter 18. Verses
35 to 43.
I want to title this message, "What is your greatest need?" We all have different needs in this life. Some are material, some are spiritual. But what is your greatest need in life? And as I speak toward this evening, I want you to ponder on that question. We know the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was on this earth, He performed many miracles. We were hearing a miracle that the Lord just did. Here we see that a blind man was healed. The Lord Jesus Christ was able to do this because He was the Son of God. And here we read about a man who was blind. Luke does not give us any more details about this man. But the fact is that he was blind. We can also assume that he was poor. Because we read that he was sitting by the wayside begging. And this shows that he was very poor. And so the circumstance that this man was in reveals to us of his poverty. It shows his helplessness. Even though this may not be an accurate description of our life, we may not be people who are begging. No matter what the circumstance is, it can be definitely true of our spiritual poverty. We know that we are spiritually poor. Any person who has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into their life is spiritually poor.
Kathava Yeshu Christ's very And here we read that he was by the wayside. And there was always people passing by. I'm sure people may have ignored him. People may have made fun of him. We see that he was ignored and he was by the wayside. But yet we see a person coming through that way. And there was a large crowd. And because of that crowd, he wanted to know what was going on. And so he asked, what is it? Because this was something unusual. And so he wanted to know what was going on. Why is this a so large crowd? And this indicates that he was aware of his surroundings. He did not give up on life. He did not give up on life. He did not give up on the hope. And so he was alert. And so we see here that this man wanted something that he did not have. Let me ask you, have you given up on life? Have you given up on hope? And here, just like this man was physically blind, he needed spiritual restoration. In other words, a person who is physically blind needs help. A spiritually blind person also needs help. His spiritual blindness limited him from comprehending what was going on around him. Similarly, a spiritually blind person will not be able to comprehend the things of God. The Bible declares that we are spiritually dead. The word of God says that there is none righteous, not even one. Some of you may admire certain leaders. Some of you may admire spiritual leaders. But none of them are righteous. Because God looks into their hearts and lives. He has the ability to fully understand what it means. And he declares, there is none righteous. The Bible also says, for all have come short of God's glory. And so I want to let you know that if you don't have Christ in your life, you are spiritually blind. Here in verse 37, we see that he is seeking help. He said, who is this man? A person who truly seeks the Lord will find help. The people that were around him said, this is Jesus of Nazareth. And so immediately he cried out, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. Here we see that even though his immediate need was to receive sight, yet he recognizes a bigger need in his life. He felt the need of God's mercy upon his life. He says, Lord, have mercy on me. And here we see that what we need is God's mercy. Today what the world needs to recognize is that that the greatest need of a person is not physical well-being, but spiritual wholeness. We spend most of our time trying to be physically well. We spend our time and resources. But here we see that the first thing that we need to have is spiritual wholeness. The Lord Jesus asked the large crowd while he was on this earth, what profit does it a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? My dear friends, if you are able to conquer the whole world, if you are able to accumulate all the wealth that is on this earth, but yet if you lose your soul, you have lost everything. Because a human being is made up of three components: the soul, spirit, and the body. Body is what we see outwardly. And that is what we spend most of our time and effort for. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you lose your soul, you are unprofitable. And here, what does it mean to show mercy? You show mercy to someone who does not deserve it. Here the blind man recognizes that there is only one person who can show mercy. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There may be many people that have passed through that road. But I don't assume he has ever cried out, Lord, mercy upon me. But the minute he knew that it was the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, have mercy upon me. The Apostle Paul says, God who is rich in grace and mercy, because of his great love, he loved us. He saved us. Oh, what we truly deserve from God was punishment. Because the Bible says the soul who sins must die. There is no other way. Before the justice of God, our standing is death. And so we all deserve death. I'm not talking about physical death, but spiritual death. Spiritual death is total separation from God. My dear friends, this world with all its problems has the presence of God. There is terrorism. There is destruction. There is murder. There's killings. And so there is all of these activities going on with the presence of God. But can you imagine a time when God is going to withdraw his presence from this world? Oh, what a horrible and pitiable condition that would be. That would be a place where not even a single ray of God's light would enter. That is a place where God's mercy cannot penetrate. That is a place where God's forgiveness cannot be enjoyed. The Bible calls it hell. And this is not for one day or 2 days. It's not for thousands of years. but it is for endless ages. My dear friends, do you want to spend your time in such a condition? According to the Bible, that is what we truly deserve. Because we have broken all of God's law. The Bible says if you have broken one law, you have broken all of God's law. And that is what we truly deserve from God. But what did God offer us? He offered us pardon and forgiveness. Oh, what a gracious God we have. What a merciful God we have. What a loving God we have. We read that God sent His own Son into this world. So that we could believe in Him. So that we could have eternal life. And so this evening, do you have that eagerness to find God's mercy? What is your greatest need in life this very moment? Forget about all the things that are happening in your life. But sit for a moment and think, what is the greatest need in my life? Do you have that inner longing for God's mercy? And that is what I want to tell you this evening. And in verse 39, we see a group of people that was not very friendly to them. Because we read that they warned him that he should be quiet. Probably they didn't like the way he was crying out. Maybe he thought that he was disturbing the whole circumstance. But from here we understand that they did not really understand the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. They did not know why he came down into this world. They did not know the purpose of his incarnation. They did not know his mission in relation to mankind. That is why the Lord said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." My dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ came to save and seek people like you. Even though they were part of the group that followed the Lord Jesus, but they really did not know the truth. That is why the Lord said, not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," they will not enter the kingdom of God. But he that does the will of my Father, following Christ as merely part of the crowd, will not inherit kingdom for you. During the time of our Lord, we know a man called Nicodemus. He was a learned person in the law. He was a respected person in the society. We could say he was a godly person. But we see that he came seeking to the Lord. And do you remember what the Lord told him? He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now what does it mean to be born again? Just like we are born through our parents, in the same way, in order to be spiritually born, we have to be born of the Spirit of God. We are spiritually born when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your hearts. Your friends may be true Christians. But what about you? Your parents may be true Christians. But what about you? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart? Unless you accept Christ, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Oh, my dear friends, I want to invite you to this wonderful kingdom of God. Some of you may have Christ in your home. But my dear friends, Christ did not come to cleanse your house. But Christ came to cleanse your heart. And that is why you need to have the Lord in your heart. And perhaps you may be going to church. You may be performing religious ceremonies. But have you personally accepted the Lord Jesus? You have to do it tonight. As we proceed in verse 39, we see that that group of people could not really stop him. Because we read that he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Perhaps you may have come across people who have stopped you from following the Lord. There may be people that is giving you hard time. But those are mere interferences. That shouldn't stop you from truly following the Lord. It is so amazing to see that those group of people could not stop him. He had greater fervency and determination. Because he knew the person who was passing by was the Lord Jesus. He firmly believed that this was his only opportunity to have God's mercy. The Lord Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given to you." He said, "Seek and you will find." He said, "Knock and it shall be opened to you." For some of you, this may be the last opportunity that you will ever hear the gospel of Christ. We know this world is full of uncertainties. The good health that you have tonight may not be there tomorrow. The good health that you have tonight may not be there tomorrow. You may have wealth tonight, but tomorrow you may be poor. You could be met in an accident. We have all seen people like that. And so this is the last opportunity that you may have ever to accept Christ in your life. And so just like this blind man, cry out to Christ. And here we see the blind man caught the attention of Christ. Verse 40, we read that, "So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him." My dear friends, his cry was so strong that he was able to bring Christ to a standstill. I'm sure there was a lot of people around him. But when this poor man cried, see that the Lord stood. Can you imagine that the cry of this poor, ignored person really brought Jesus to a standstill? Many people have passed by. He may have cried many times. People may have ignored him. But yet we see the Lord Jesus stood. And here we see Jesus is not an ordinary person. The Bible says he is the Son of the living God. He is co-equal with God. He is of the same essence as the Father. Oh, my dear friends, how can Jesus stand? You may have approached many people. You may have approached spiritual leaders. But this evening I want to let you know that if you have approached the Lord Jesus Christ, He will stand. And He stood not because of the people, but because of His love and compassion to the man. His heart was overflowing seeing the desperate cry of this man. So you see, the sincere cry of any person that is directed to the Lord will cause Christ to stand. Not only did Jesus stand, but he caused him to be brought to him. We see here that Jesus commanded him to be brought to him. Oh, what a blessed thing it is to be brought to the source of all blessing. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all that are labored, and I will give you rest." My dear friends, there is no problem that He cannot solve. He cannot heal. There is no condition that He cannot transform. And above all, there is no sin that He cannot forgive. If there is one person that you can find help in, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can find help for all of your life's problems. The Bible says He is my deliverer. He is my salvation. Do you come to Him this evening? If you come, He will stand beside you. And the fact that this blind man had to be brought to Jesus, it shows that he was sinful. Sinful. We see that by nature we are far from God. And God has to draw us unto Himself. The Bible says He came and preached Christ to those who were afar off. We are far from God because of our sinful nature. And we express it daily through our words, actions, and our deeds. Some of you may think that I don't do certain things. But even if you think in your mind, God considers as if it's done. And so we cannot justify ourselves before God's justice. And so we are far from God. The Bible says no one comes unto the Father unless He draws us.
ദൈവത്തിന്റെ വചനം പറയുന്നു.
If you hear a gentle voice that is talking to you this evening,
ഇന്ന് രാത്രി ദൈവത്തിന്റെ മൃദുമായ ശബ്ദം, ശാന്തമായ ശബ്ദം നിങ്ങൾ കേൾക്കുന്നുണ്ടെങ്കിൽ,
then it is God calling you.
ദൈവം നിങ്ങളെ വിളിക്കുകയാണ്.
God is drawing you unto himself.
ദൈവം തന്റെ അടുക്കലേക്ക് നിങ്ങളെ ക്ഷണിക്കുകയാണ്.
He says, surrender your life.
അവൻ പറയുന്നു, നിന്റെ ജീവിതത്തെ അവനായിട്ട് സമർപ്പിക്കുക.
Give your life to him.
നിന്റെ ജീവിതം അവനായിട്ട് ഏൽപ്പിച്ചു കൊടുക്കുക.
And here we see a lot of detail that helps us to understand what was going on.
അവിടെ നമുക്ക് നല്ല കാര്യങ്ങളെക്കുറിച്ച് നമുക്ക് മനസ്സിലാക്കാൻ കഴിയുന്ന പല കാര്യങ്ങളുണ്ട്.
Here we see that he was brought near, and Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you?
അവനെ യേശുവിന്റെ അടുക്കലേക്ക് കൊണ്ടുവന്ന കർത്താവ് ചോദിക്കുകയാണ്, നിനക്ക് എന്ത് വേണം എന്ന് അവനോട് ചോദിക്കുന്നു.
Here we see a heart that is drawn by God, will engage in a dialogue.
കർത്താവിന്റെ അടുക്കലേക്ക് കടന്നു വരുമ്പോൾ കർത്താവ് ഒരു സന്ദേശം, ഒരു ചില കാര്യങ്ങൾ അവനോട് സംസാരിക്കുന്നു.
He will find God speaking to him.
ദൈവവുമായിട്ട് സംസാരിച്ച് കേൾക്കാനാണ് ആഗ്രഹിക്കുന്നു.
He will find God speaking to him in a personal way. Near to him.
അതിന് കാരണമായിട്ട് അവൻ കർത്താവിന്റെ അടുക്കിലേക്ക്, സമീപത്തേക്ക് വന്നു എന്നുള്ളത്.
It is only as we draw closer to God that he begins to speak to us.
കർത്താവിന്റെ അടുക്കിലേക്ക് നാം എത്രമാത്രം അടുത്തു വരുന്നുവോ അത്രയും അപ്പോഴാണ് കർത്താവ് നമ്മോട് സംസാരിക്കുന്നത് കേൾക്കുവാനായിട്ട് സാധിക്കുന്നത്.
The psalmist says the Lord is near to all who call upon him.
കർത്താവ് സങ്കീർത്തനകാരൻ പറയുന്നുണ്ട്, തന്നെ സത്യമായി വിളിച്ചപേക്ഷിക്കുന്ന ഏവർക്കും അവൻ സമീപസ്ഥനാണ്.
Once we yield ourselves to him,
നാം ഒരിക്കലും നമ്മുടെ ജീവിതത്തെ അവനായി സമർപ്പിക്കുമ്പോൾ,
we begin to talk with him.
നാം അവനുമായിട്ട് സംസാരിക്കാനായിട്ട് തുടങ്ങും.
And some of you may think, is that possible?
ചില ആളുകൾ ചിന്തിക്കുന്നുണ്ട്, അത് സാധ്യമാണോ?
My dear friends, I do that daily.
പ്രിയ സ്നേഹിതരെ, ഞാൻ ആ കാര്യം ദിവസവും പ്രാക്ടീസ് ചെയ്യുന്നതാണ്.
We can talk to God.
ദൈവത്തോട് സംസാരിക്കാനായിട്ട്
സാധിക്കും. The one who is in heaven.
അവൻ സ്വർഗ്ഗത്തിലിരിക്കുന്ന ദൈവത്തോട് സംസാരിക്കാനായിട്ട് കഴിയും.
But he is in us.
അവൻ നമ്മിലാണുണ്ട്.
And so we can talk to him.
അതുകൊണ്ട് നമുക്ക് അവനോട് സംസാരിക്കാനായിട്ട് സാധിക്കും.
What is it that is stopping you from drawing closer to him this evening? And Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you? Do you think that the Lord said this out of curiosity or courtesy? Or maybe to appease the crowd? Appease the crowd that was maybe angry? Absolutely not. But he said these words with full intention of helping this poor man. The Lord presented himself as the omnipotent one.
തന്റെ മുൻപാകെ ഈ ഗുരുനായിരുന്ന വ്യക്തി, നിസ്സാരനായ വ്യക്തി മുൻപാകെ സർവശക്തനായ ഒരു വ്യക്തിയായിട്ടാണ് ഈ കർത്താവിനെ വെളിപ്പെടുത്തുന്നത്.
Even though the Lord knew precisely what his need was,
കർത്താവ് യഥാർത്ഥമായിട്ടുള്ള ആവശ്യങ്ങളെ മനസ്സിലാക്കുമ്പോൾ,
but yet he presents himself as the one who can solve all his problems.
ആ പ്രശ്നങ്ങൾക്ക് പരിഹാരം നൽകുവാൻ കഴിവുള്ള വ്യക്തിയായി തന്നെയാണ് താൻ നമ്മുടെ മുമ്പിൽ തന്നെ തന്നെ പരിചയപ്പെടുത്തുന്നു.
He says, what do you want me to do for you?
ഞാൻ നിനക്ക് എന്ത് ചെയ്തു തരണം എന്ന് ചോദിച്ചു.
My dear friends, there is nothing that God cannot do.
ദൈവത്തിന് ചെയ്യാൻ കഴിയാത്തതായിട്ടൊന്നുമില്ല.
There is nothing that he cannot do.
അവൻ ചെയ്യാൻ കഴിയാത്തതായിട്ടൊന്നുമില്ല.
There are things that we cannot do.
നമുക്ക് ചെയ്യാൻ കഴിയാത്ത കാര്യങ്ങളുണ്ട്.
But there is absolutely nothing that God cannot do.
എന്നാൽ ദൈവത്തിന് ചെയ്യാൻ കഴിയാത്തതായിട്ട് യാതൊരു കാര്യവുമില്ല.
And that is why the Lord alone can say, what do you want me to do for you?
അതുകൊണ്ടാണ് കർത്താവ് മാത്രം പറയുന്നത്, ഞാൻ നിനക്ക് എന്ത് ചെയ്തു തരണം എന്ന് ഉദ്ദേശിക്കുന്നു.
And it was a deliberate show of mercy and love to this person.
വ്യക്തിയെ കർത്താവിന്റെ കരുണയും സ്നേഹവും വെളിപ്പെടുത്തു.
The Lord is standing beside him and saying, what do you want me to do for you?
കർത്താവിന്റെ സമീപം കൊണ്ട് ചോദിക്കുകയാണ്, ഞാൻ നിനക്ക് എന്ത് ചെയ്തു തരണം.
He fully knew the helpless condition that he was in.
അവന്റെ നിസ്സഹായ അവസ്ഥയെക്കുറിച്ച് അവന് ബോധ്യമുണ്ട്.
And so the Lord is presenting himself as the one who can solve all his problems.
അവനെല്ലാ പ്രശ്നങ്ങൾക്കും പരിഹാരം നൽകുവാൻ കഴിവുള്ള വ്യക്തിയായിട്ട് കർത്താവ് തന്നെ തന്നെ അവന്റെ മുൻപാകെ വെളിപ്പെടുത്തുകയാണ്.
And what did the blind man say? He just said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. The blind man asked the Lord for that which he was in need of most. He asked what he was in need of most. His immediate need was to receive his sight. And what is your immediate need this evening? What is that is pressing in your heart? Are you spiritually blind? Is there a void in your life? Emptiness in your life? Is there something that seems nothing to fill? You have tried everything. You have gone to different places. You may be seeking something that you cannot fill yourself. Deep within you, do you have a longing to have a personal relationship with God? Won't you ask the Lord today that you may receive your sight? And here, as soon as the blind man made his request, the Lord responded. The Lord said, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. What is such a prompt response from the Lord? It is indicative of his willingness to help him. Many times when we need help, we may have to beg for it. We may have to make several calls before we can reach that person. Many times we may not be even able to approach him. But here the Lord was very prompt in his response. He said, receive your sight. Oh my dear friends, what a Lord, what a God we have. When he said, receive your sight, it meant that the healing virtue came directly from the Lord. It literally flowed from the Lord to that blind man. Just like the physical healing came directly from the Lord, our spiritual restorations come directly from the Lord. Here we see that the Lord proclaimed healing by the power of his word. My dear friends, our Lord is the one who proclaimed the world into existence. He brought this whole universe into being by the power of his word. Such a powerful God we have. But when it came to our spiritual restoration, that was not enough. The accomplishment of spiritual restoration was not as simple as speaking a word. But it required a great price to be paid by Christ. Because the word of God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no other way. And so the Lord came down into this world. He lived as a man. He lived a perfect life. He fulfilled all the requirements of the law. And finally, he died for us on the cross. That is how he paid the price of our salvation. My dear friends, is there anyone that has given their life for you? I don't think there is anyone that is willing to die for you. But this evening I want to let you know that there was one person. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He offered himself for us. He shed his blood for us. God judged him for all of our sins, so that we could enjoy eternal blessedness with God. Do you know? know that the price of your redemption has already been paid. There's nothing that you have to do. Many religions say that you have to do certain things. If you do good things, then you will go to heaven. But the Bible says that the only thing you have to do is to believe in Him. Because everything has been accomplished for us. Everything is prepared for us. All we have to do is just like this blind man. Lord, I need my sight. And the Lord will respond. And here we see that the Lord wanted the blind man to know that he did not merely receive his sight, but he had salvation for his soul. Verse 42 says, your faith has made you whole. My dear friends, the object of our faith is Christ. And when it is directed to Him, and when it is placed upon Him, we shall be saved. The Bible says, for by grace we are saved. Not of our good works. My dear friends, it is as simple as placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you may ask, what else can I do? What more do I need to do? There is nothing else that you can do except put your faith in the Lord Jesus. All you have to do is what you can do while you're sitting. Some of you may be listening to me from homes. Wherever you are, if the Spirit of God is speaking to you this evening, if you have a quiet voice within you that is saying to surrender your life, that is God speaking to you. Come to Him freely. All you have to do is as simple as what I will tell you right now. Just repeat this prayer in your heart. The prayer itself will not save you. But when you pray it with faith in your heart, and when you pray it to the Lord Jesus, that will cause salvation to your heart. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I am not worthy to come to your presence. But I know that you paid the price of my salvation. I want to give my life for you. Please forgive me of all my sins. From today on, I want to live for you. In Christ's name. If you do just that, you are a child of God. God has taken residence in your heart. And from this day onwards, He will guide you and lead you. He will show you the way to walk. My dear friends, whatever problems you may confront, the Lord Jesus will guide you. He will be with you. He will be a comforter to you. And this evening I want to conclude by pleading with you once again. Be wise and choose Christ in your life. Because there is only two ways. You may be either on the path to destruction, or you may be on the path to life. Choose Christ. And that will change your life. And may His name be glorified. May God bless all of you. Thank you.
നിന്റെ അത്ഭുതം കാണുന്നതിന് മുമ്പ് നിന്റെ അത്ഭുതം കണ്ട ശേഷം അവർ